I'm going to use this lecture to talk about some predictions for the future. And these predictions include economic issues, but they're more generally about the state of technology in the country. And these predictions are also relatively optimistic. I think you'll be probably surprised at how optimistic they are. But I guess I'm known as one of the more optimistic economists out there. First of all, there are three main fields of innovation, and this is, I think, what a lot of people would say. I mean, if you go to the leading science and technology universities in this country, the Caltechs, the MITs, these are the three hot fields. First is computers and electronic communication, and I'll summarize that with Moore's Law, that computers seem to be doubling their capability every year. And I think if anything, the challenge these days is to figure out what to do with all this computing power, with all this storage power. And I think where it seems to be headed is in embedding small communication devices everywhere. So you hear about radio frequency IDs, RFIDs, that are going to be embedded in products. Walmart is going to track its inventory by, instead of having barcodes, have these little tiny chip transmitters in all in all its products, in all its packages. And I think we're going to see that more widespread and used in a lot of ways. The second field is nanotechnology. That's dealing with matter at the atomic level. And people mean different things by it. The Eric Drexler, who came up with the term, insists that we have to have actually tiny little nanofactories, that is, little things that can assemble products atom by atom. Super miniature robots, as it were, assembling things, and that's what he means by nanotechnology. Others mean something a little less dramatic. They just mean, very small, just manipulating matter at that level and getting interesting materials and so on out of that. The final field is biotechnology, coming up with new ways of using biological materials and new cures for diseases and so on. Of these, I think the one that's most established, working already for us, is Moore's Law. Nanotechnology is beginning to show some results, at least if you use the milder definitions of nanotechnology. And I think biotechnology has begun to show some results, but I think is probably going to be the last to show really dramatic results. But those three fields are all being pursued aggressively and all have huge potential to change our lives. Major challenges that we face going forward, things that are sort of hurdles for the economy, include things like energy. There are really two facets to energy. One is primary production of energy, where your choices are basically fossil fuels, coal, oil, nuclear power, or solar power. I don't think we'll ever see anything like wind power in any meaningful level. I think solar and nuclear are kind of the big backstops for oil. But I do think there's potential for biotechnology to come in and, for instance, conceivably come up with ways to convert coal to much cleaner fuel so that we could use more coal more readily. It's also quite possible that nanotechnology will provide a solution in that it will make it possible to conserve energy much better, so make better use of the energy that we have. So there's primary production of energy, and then there's an issue of storage and transportation. Right now, the most portable form of energy is gasoline that we take in our cars. We'll be looking at hydrogen as another source of portable energy and conceivably others, but hydrogen most likely the a source for portable energy. But we do require more energy on the go. Everyone deals with battery issues, recharging batteries, trying to find better batteries, and especially as we have more of these devices that exist on their own, they're not personal devices, they're just embedded in things. Those devices are going to need energy, and so the portability of energy is going to become a big issue. My view is the energy problem will be solved in time, in that I don't think we would run out of conventional energy sources until the middle of this century, and I think there's plenty of time in the meantime to come up with solutions. And there's always the backstop of nuclear power, and nuclear power, because of better computer technology and better nanotechnology, computer power, sorry, nuclear power is going to become a lot safer in the years ahead. And it already is a lot safer than our existing generation of nuclear power plants. New designs will be much safer than what we already have. Next major challenge I see is mental health. I think I'll make a controversial statement. I think that most poverty in the United States today is a mental health issue more than an economic issue. That is, if you could deal with substance abuse and mental illness like schizophrenia and other mental diseases, you would basically eradicate poverty. And meanwhile, if you just try to throw money at the people, at people who suffer from the worst forms of mental illness, you really won't do much to eradicate poverty. You really need to get at the fundamental mental health issues. Beyond that, I think that a lot of what holds a lot of people back, not just the very poor and the very mentally ill, but a lot of people who just are in the lower end of the income scale, are also mental health issues that ultimately might be addressed medically. Another major challenge we face is terrorism, and I think that over the next 5 to 10 years, I think society will overcome terrorism. I think what will happen is that we will become more of a transparent society. That's actually a term, a title of a book by David Brin, written in 1999. And I think what that means is that people will, a lot more of people's lives will be publicly available, generally known. A lot more of substances that might be dangerous will be tracked. So dangerous biological substances will be tracked, nuclear materials will be tracked. And as a result of that, people who are doing things above board will be okay, but people who are trying to engage in secret activities such as terrorism will have a harder and harder time maintaining secrecy. So I think that's how we'll overcome terrorism. So I think we're going to overcome these challenges, but I just want to mention them as being paramount. Okay, now let me go through some of these predictions. Starting with the prediction that Ray Kurzweil made in the book that some of you read, The Age of Spiritual Machines. He says that persons with disabilities are rapidly overcoming their handicaps through the intelligent technology of 2009. That is, he's saying by 2009, we'll see people with disabilities such as blindness, deafness, paralysis, starting to overcome those handicaps with the aid of machines. And my next quote is from a news story the other day. It says, with electrodes implanted directly on their brains, two Madison patients were able to control a computer cursor and play a basic video game just by thinking about it. And then the conclusion is, it's expected that the so-called brain-machine interface technology will allow severely disabled patients, such as those with spinal cord injuries, ALS, or those who've suffered strokes, to communicate. See, once you can get a brain-machine interface, then you can take somebody who doesn't have the ability to speak, who's lost speech capability, and assuming their thought process is still working, they'll be able to communicate because, in some sense, the machine will be able to read their mind. And in general, this potential for brain-machine interaction has huge potential in both directions, both in terms of the feedback that the brain can get and in terms of what the brain can do. There are other interesting stories. I saw a story that somebody who was blind was fitted with a camera attached to a chip on their tongue, and the chip on the tongue proceeded to give different pressure points depending on what the different apply different pressure to different points on the tongue depending on what was in the camera's viewpoint. And so this blind person, after their brain got adjusted to the patterns that it was feeling on its tongue, was able to walk through a room, see that there was a sign on a door, in effect, use the camera as a substitute for eyesight. It's not a certainly not a perfect substitute. It's not going to eliminate blindness tomorrow, but you can see that down the road that that kind of thing is coming. So it's going to be, I think, an amazing 10 to 15 years for people with disabilities. I think we're going to see some of that over the next few years, and then it's going to be very explosive after that. Okay, next prediction goes back to something I made. A reasonably priced hard disk can store all the music they have time to listen to, and with several more iterations of Moore's Law, a disk will be able to store everything that has ever been recorded. So I made that prediction 2.5 years ago, and I guess less than 6 months ago, we had the latest generation iPod, which can hold approximately 5,000 to 10,000 songs, which isn't everything ever recorded. I think we're a few iterations more as well away from that, but it's certainly much more than you would ever have time to listen to. So it's a sign that the storage technology is just so large that the real question is sort of what to do with it. I think the economic model for compact discs, that the recording industry uses is just completely blown up. I think, ultimately you'll be buying, at some point somebody will come up with something that's like an iPod, but with a standard set of songs burnt into it that's like the 5,000 most popular songs. Just already burnt into it, so you don't have to download them. I think that's kind of the next step in that. Okay, the next prediction. I think that the first person to live to 1,000 might be 60 already. So this is a guy. I think I know I've mentioned him in my book, Aubrey de Grey, who believes that there are only about seven or eight specific mechanisms by which cells, human cells, die or decay. And he says that there's at least some research into ways to halt or reverse each of those seven or eight forms of death or decay. And his point is, once you've solved each of those, then you don't have anything that you can't cure. Because every disease ultimately boils down to one of those seven or eight mechanisms by which a cell is killed off or decays. And so if you can beat those seven or eight methods, you can beat every disease, you can keep people young forever, and so on. And he's so optimistic about that. He's saying that there's somebody who's 60 who's going to live till the age of, let's say, 90, 95, 100. And between now and then, over the next 30 or 40 years, these technologies or ways of attacking cell death and cell decay are going to become so advanced over the next 30 or 40 years that there's somebody who's 60 who may actually be able to take advantage of these technologies as they come on stream and prolong their life to 120, 130, And then there's another 20 or 30 years of advance in this kind of technology. And who knows, this person could live to 1,000. Again, that's rather optimistic, but if he's off, the way he's off might be that, okay, only everyone over 30 today is not going to be able to take advantage of all these technologies, but everyone under 30 might be able to. So everyone under 30 might be able to live to 1,000. So anyway, that's a discussed in my chapter in my book called Nonlinear Thinking. Another prediction, and this comes from another book on our list, Fogel's book on the conquest of death and disease, the conquest of hunger and premature death. He says the three biggest growth industries will be leisure time. Well, he's just saying leisure in general, but I'll say leisure time entertainment, education, and healthcare. So those will be the three biggest industries. Chances are, over the course of your life, you will be employed in one of those industries at some point or another. But I predict we'll see falling market shares for traditional organizations in education, healthcare, and entertainment. That is, I don't think today's movie industry is going to have its market share increase. I don't think today's music industry is going to have its market share increase. I don't think TV, whatever. I think the traditional organizations are going to decline. I don't think traditional doctors and hospitals are going to see their market share increase. That is, they now by market share, I mean the share of the total. I don't mean that they're absolutely going to go in decline. I think they're going to be increased spending on doctors or on entertainment, increased spending on music. But I think that most of the growth will come from outside traditional organizations. So if you want to try to catch the wave in education, healthcare, and entertainment, I think you don't aim for the traditional industries, the traditional school, the traditional medical practice, or the major entertainment industries. What you would aim for is new startups, new challengers in these fields. Those will be the things that will really catch the wave of those the increased spending in those industries. I'd also predict that many jobs will have an artistic component to them. People are going to want to see things that are better designed, that are more aesthetically pleasing. Many jobs will have a teaching component to them. People are going to be need training. They're going to have to learn how to do things themselves. If you're going to be a middle manager, a lot of your job is going to be training people. If you're a healthcare professional, you may be training patients. You may be training other professionals. Finally, many jobs will involve communication and translation. And you can think of that literally as translating from one language to another, but you can also think of it as translating from one discipline to another. Already today, a lot of jobs involve communication between computer professionals and people who understand business processes, explaining the business process to the computer people, explaining what the computer people are doing to the business people. And we're going to see those kinds of communication translation issues in a lot of areas because a lot of jobs and companies are going to involve mixing, combining multiple disciplines. So you'll need to take the information from one discipline, could be a technical discipline like statistics or computers, or it could be an artistic discipline like design, or it could be a treatment discipline, and translate it so that someone else can understand it. So a lot of jobs will involve that kind of communication translation. Another prediction is that sometime in the next 30 years, productivity in the United States will start to double every 10 years. That would be a dramatic takeoff in productivity. In the 20th century, it doubled every 30 or 40 years. That was the average rate of at which productivity doubled. And so the 20th century, we had said some pretty impressive increases in our standard of living over the course of the 20th century. But if it doubles every 10 years, then the standard of living obviously goes up a great deal faster. I think once that hits, the economic problems start to go away, and what will start to stand out will be things like, mental health issues and so on, because once productivity starts to double at that rate, the ability of people to increase their standard of living is just tremendous. Another prediction is that you will be self-employed for at least 20% of your working life. I think that the rate of churn and turnover in organizations is just very, very high. So I think it's likely that you're going to spend a fair amount of your life self-employed. Another prediction is that tracking technology will bring about a noticeable reduction in robberies and kidnappings in the developed world over the next 5 years. As I already described, I think more and more things will have chips embedded that make them trackable. People will start seeing some people voluntarily allow themselves to be tracked, either by wearing stuff or even by embedding chips. I think we'll start to see extreme criminals and dangerous people forced to wear tracking devices. So maybe people who are visitors on foreign visitors with visas may have to have passports that have electronic tracking devices embedded in them, things like that. And I think we'll start to see, as I said, a noticeable reduction in sort of personal types of crime, like robberies and kidnappings, as a result of this, really within 5 years. I think the spread of this technology is going to be so rapid that we'll actually see something. Now, I'm not saying we're going to see any kind of elimination of robberies and kidnappings. I'm just saying a noticeable reduction. And the trend will be for certain types of crime to really decline. And that decline will be sharp starting around 2010 or so. And then a final prediction is that the most dramatic and controversial scientific developments in the next few days will be in the field of mental health and enhancement. Dramatic in that I think this will be difficult. It's not going to happen in the next 5 years. It's more likely to happen maybe in the middle of the next to the latter part of the next decade. Some real cures and treatments for things ranging from Parkinson's disease to Alzheimer's to schizophrenia, and so on. And along the way, people are going to come up with mental health treatments that take things that we do not now consider diseases and provide treatments for them. And that might be considered enhancement rather than just mental health. That is, if you take, an ordinary person and eliminate some of their emotional problems, eliminate some of their cognitive problems, then at what point are they becoming enhanced? Are they become, are you doing to them what Barry Bonds did with allegedly did with steroids? Are you sort of going beyond a normal person? And as I said, I think this is going to be controversial. So I think these are going to be both dramatic developments that are going to have a very large impact on human capacity, because I do think that mental illnesses and cognitive impairments are a big cost in society today. A big they hold a lot of people back, and so the possibility of removing those impairments has tremendous potential, but the controversy, potential for controversy, is huge also. I mean, if you think that worrying about Barry Bonds and Jason Giambi was troublesome, wait till you see what happens when cognitive enhancement People get develop the ability to do dramatically better on tests or dramatically or become much better team players. They get along with other people a lot better as a result of medical treatments. At what point is that going to become controversial and the ethical issues involved in that and the issues of what's of human freedom involved in that are going to be quite challenging. Anyway, so those are some predictions I wanted to leave you I guess these aren't strictly economic predictions, but as an economist, I have the I'm thinking in terms of which ones are the lowest costs, which ones are going to have the most dramatic impacts. And so that's kind of my perspective on which of these technologies will come on first and how they'll be used. It's based on kind of my intuition about kind of which ones are going to have the achieve the lowest cost the soonest. So that's it.